Now, on to state politics. There is an extraordinary disagreement building on Beacon Hill this week, and it's not the traditional one that usually divides members on either side of the aisle.
It's between Democratic Governor Deval Patrick and the democratically controlled Massachusetts House. The issue, EBT cards, or food stamps. Yesterday, the House voted 152-1 against an amendment Patrick offered that would soften significant restrictions on how and where food stamps could be used in Massachusetts.
152-1? Even dyed-in-the-wool progressive Democrats voted against the governor, which means they were essentially voting for a crackdown on food spending. So what's really going on here? To help us answer that question is Representative Ruth Balzer, Democrat of Newton, and one of the most vocal opponents of the food stamp restrictions, who nonetheless voted against the governor yesterday. Representative Balzer, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Happy to be here.
So let's start by going back in time a little bit and reminding listeners how we got here, because the original proposed EBT reform was folded into the budget, and those reforms basically were within an amendment that would block low-income recipients from using their EBT cards to buy things like alcohol, lottery tickets, pornography, etc. It was one of hundreds of amendments that the House debated in really rapid-fire order, and you were opposed to the restrictions back then. So when the governor handed this issue back to you, why did you vote against him?
Okay, so there are a number of things I need to clarify. Yes, I am opposed to this overhaul of the EBT system that has been proposed. But just to clarify on the governor, many of us who are opposed to this did not vote with the governor. We did not see the amendment in as stark terms as you just described it. We thought in some ways he did some small tweaking, some softening. In some instances, we actually thought he made the penalties a little harsher. On balance, we didn't see it as an improvement from our point of view, and that's why we voted against it. So you're right to notice that the people who were for the changes and against the changes both voted against the governor. It's my hope that the governor will veto this whole thing, just as I voted against the whole thing initially.
So a veto would send everyone back to the drawing board. But what Governor Patrick did for the time being send back to you was this proposed amendment that basically said he was okay with putting some restrictions on where EBT cards could be used, such as casinos, strip clubs, gun shops. Those are just a few examples. But he didn't want restrictions placed on what people could buy. Is that not a fair compromise?
Well, the restrictions you just mentioned are actually already against federal law. That doesn't really add anything. People are already prohibited from using EBT cards in liquor stores and casinos and gambling establishments, establishments that provide adult-oriented entertainment. This has already been prohibited by federal law. So that didn't add anything. When I got up and spoke in opposition to this on the floor when we debated the amendment, I pointed out some of the other uses that were going to be restricted, mm-hmm. things like cosmetic, things like jewelry. I still believe that, you know, if a poor woman wants to get up and go for a job interview and needs to run into the, what we used to call the five and dime, you know, to pick up a little bit of costume jewelry and some makeup to help her get a shot at getting that job, I don't want to restrict her from doing that. My opposition to this is that this is a solution looking for a problem. The Patrick Murray administration has been extremely effective at combating fraud and abuse of this system. One of the first things this governor did was set up a program integrity unit in the Department of Transitional Assistance, and they've recovered $28 million in misused funds. Those of us who oppose this overhaul, think that the system is working. But to impose these new restrictions on poor people, I think, has kind of a mean-spirited, harassing feel to it. These are very, very, very poor people who are struggling to survive with very limited cash assistance from the government, $475. And by the way, it's not just the food stamps, it's the cash assistance.
Indeed.
$475 a month. And you know, one of the things that these people are doing, they're struggling to survive, but they're also struggling to maintain their dignity. And I think this kind of micromanagement of the way they're going to spend this very small amount of assistance for people who, by and large, are spending this money in very careful ways to just try to feed and diaper, you know, their children.
Well, Representative Balzer, let me ask you a question. I mean, there's no doubt that the need, by many measures, has never been greater. I mean, last year, the number of households in Massachusetts that applied for this assistance basically jumped by 85%. That's a fact. But on the other hand, it seems to me that there is a sense out there that by putting certain restrictions on how that money can be spent, it actually may increase the efficacy in how we use taxpayer money. I mean, the state of Massachusetts has already done things in general.
It's going to cost a lot of taxpayer money to.
Well, let me just say what I wanted to ask you is that we already have a high tax on tobacco. We have taxes on liquor. There have been the thoughts, the proposals to put taxes on soda, for example. The concept is that the state says, hey, there are certain, you know, products and behaviors that maybe we don't want people to buy. So why not have an analogous set of rules for food stamps?
Well, again, it's not just food stamps, it's the cash assistance, but I would argue that the cost of the implementation will probably cost more to the taxpayer and is probably not a good use of funds. One of the reasons there's this sense out there that you refer to has to do with, quite frankly, a frenzy whipped up by some media outlets, not NPR, by the way, some media outlets, which is actually based on the fact that the system is working. The way the Boston Herald knows about these instances of abuses is that the state has rooted them out. The state has, you know, sent in police. The state has sent in enforcement when they've uncovered this abuse. It's actually a sign that the system, as it is currently constructed, is working. And I am very concerned about discouraging poor people who are so burdened under in this troubled economy. I worry about what the impact of hearing this news is, you know, the assumptions behind it about people not spending this money wisely when there's not evidence for that.
Ruth Balzer, who's Democratic representative of Newton, afraid we've run out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Still ahead on the program, why American legal education is in crisis and how to fix it. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.